I'm Teemu Rinta-aho, and I'm going to present the Click2Net FPGA toolchain. I wrote a paper with Mika Karlstedt, who is my colleague at Ericsson, and Professor Madhav Desai from IIT Bombay. Basically, the background is that we have explored the possibilities of high-level synthesis in the packet processing domain. And what does this high-level synthesis mean? It's transforming software into hardware automatically. So we ended up writing a prototype. So this presentation is more about implementation of the prototype and how well it runs. So it's very much implementation oriented. We are using a number of open source components, otherwise we wouldn't be able to do this work. We have some new code written by us, some glue there. And so basically this toolchain allows us to define click configurations using existing and new click elements. I'm coming back to click in more detail later. It allows us to write new click elements in C++, and then we can compile them to hardware and run them on a NetFPGA card. So the main components are click, NetFPGA, LLVM, Click2LLVM, which is written by us, and Ahir, which is from IIT Bombay. About the related work, it's not the HLS is not a new thing. There are several academic and commercial products that allow this high-level synthesis. There's the Trident Legup, AutoESL, Catapult C, and I don't know even how many. But when we tried to use some of these earlier, we noticed that they are actually for hardware developers so that they can just gain more productivity. They can use C or C++ or System C to describe a piece of hardware. It's not really made for people who don't understand hardware to create hardware. And we wanted to do something like that. So how does a network researcher or developer who knows how to write C or C++ but doesn't know how to design hardware do something like that? So this Click2Net FPGA toolchain differs from the existing work so that it's more like a system-to-system compiler. It's more specifically designed for a specific source and target system. So Click is the source and NetFPGA is the target. The good thing is that modifying the source system, it doesn't require knowledge of the target system at all. So all the knowledge is hidden in this toolchain. And the developer doesn't need to understand hardware design in Verilog or VHDL. So Click is a software platform written in C++. It's like a collection of Lego blocks, so you can take them and create a router in no time. Or you can use that framework to write an element that implements something, some your own protocol or some new feature, and you can easily try out. You don't have to change the Linux IP stack or something like that. It runs in Linux or BSD user space or in Linux kernel and maybe somewhere else, I don't know. Hundreds of existing elements, for example, ARP responder, classifier, check IP header, all kind of standard things. It's easy to add new elements and easy to build custom routers once you get to know some basic restrictions and the APIs. So then there's the NetFPGA, which is also a very nice project from Stanford. The first NetFPGA card, it's a PCI network interface card with an FPGA. It has four 1 gigabit Ethernet interfaces. And it can run these all interfaces at the line rate. It's quite flexible. It's open source. It's intended for research and for classroom use in various networking courses. And there are more than 1,000 of these deployed all over the world. There are some open source Verilog based designs that you can download and modify and so on. But it's harder to modify this compared with Qlik. So you first need to understand how hardware works and then how to modify it. And debugging might be more difficult than debugging software. Then we have LLVM. It's an open source compiler. It's actually a tool chain by itself. It has a set of tools and a number of optimizers. It's quite easy to write new compiler passes for your own purposes, and quite easy to write new backends and maybe frontends, but we haven't done that yet. It represents the intermediate code in SSA. It's a single static assignment form. It's like an assembler with unlimited registers. So it's quite easy to write new optimizers for the intermediate files, or even write a shell script to do some modifications and then go on to the next step. So it's quite open by the construct. It outperforms GCC and many, but not always. So because it's quite new, it's still rather easy, much more easier to understand and get into than GCC. And it can perform global optimizations. Then Ahir, it's another project using LLVM. It's a backend for that, and it can generate VHDL. And VHDL is a hardware description language. It's open source from IIT Bombay. So basically, it factorizes the system into control data and storage. And it supports also several optimizations and analysis for this hardware that it produces. There are some limitations, like many HSL tools have, that recursion, for example, it's pretty hard to implement on hardware and function pointers. Otherwise, it supports full C. Basically, it maps its LLVM IR function, which is results of a C or C++ function, into a VHDL module, and it then connects these with like pipes. So you could think these as Unix small Unix programs connected with Unix pipes. So there's a small example, addition instruction. So the C code would be like M plus N. The store is not shown, but then the LLVM intermediate representation is like assembler, adding N to M. So on the left side, you see the control data flow graph. And on the right-hand side, there's the control and data part of what Ahir will produce. So basically, Ahir works so that when we have C code, eventually it maps to small piece of hardware like this, the control and data part, and then M and N can come from a local storage, which is a memory subsystem. All right, so then the whole tool chain in one picture. There are several steps. It might look a bit complicated at the first glance, and it is, but the first step, we have a Qlik source code, so the standard elements and whatever you have created by yourself. Then we have modified the Qlik library, so the header files and so on, so that we have a specific target called netfpga. So we compile each element twice. We generate an object file that can be loaded into memory in this host computer that you're running. And then we compile LLVM files for each click element, but those are only to be run on the NetFPGA eventually. And that needs to be only run once and every time you update the click source code. So the second step, whenever you modify the router, you have a click configuration file, which describes how the different packet processing elements connect to each other and so on. And we have the tool click to LLVM. It will read the configuration file, and it basically runs like the click user space tool. It loads up the elements in memory and calls the initialization methods for each element. So it does everything until actual packet processing, and we don't do that. So when standard click would start packet processing, we go through this click router in memory, and we read all the memory contents, and we write them out using LLVM functions as constants in a LLVM module, which is a single file. And then we also link all the necessary source files that we have previously compiled into the single module. So the single module will be self-contained LLVM representation of the click router and some wrapper stuff. Then in the third step, we run several transformations. There are some basic optimizations written by various people in the LLVM project, standard programming stuff like constant propagation, inlining, dead code elimination, and so on. Then we also make code more suitable for target, and so there we have some special things. We want to make these click elements as constant as possible. So, and we want to get rid of all the function calls to external functions and try to optimize as much as possible to help the next stage. The next stage is then use Ahir. And Ahir will take this optimized LLVM module and generate VHDL. And that VHDL is then already description of piece of hardware. And there are also several optimizations on the hardware level, like reusing certain operations, like you don't create 1,000 addition hardware for 1,000 additions and so on. The final step is then to, in a sense, go to the NetFPGA project and run their makefile to build a new netlist. It will then include this VHDL module that we have generated. And using the Xilinx tools, which Xilinx is the manufacturer of the FPGA, so they have special tools for generating the firmware that can then be downloaded into actual hardware, and it can then be started. So that's a high-level overview of the tool. There are many details missing from this picture. Then the resulting hardware looks something like this. It's first of all, there's the whole thing that comes out of the tool chain in the end. So you have a firmware that you can load into the card. And that consists of a specific user module that we include into a reference implementation from Stanford. So we basically just put our click module into the existing pipeline that's already been implemented by others. Then inside we have the part that has been generated. So there's some wrapper there that was in the previous stage. This is all dynamic. And inside this we have the click elements. So as in software, click runs in a thread. So when a packet is received from the network interface, for example, it will then recursively call through function pointers the element so that all the packet processing is done for the packet. And then this call stack returns, and it gets the next packet and so on. But on hardware, we cannot use function pointers. So we change the whole thing. So the software turns into hardware modules that run in parallel. So it's like modifying a single thread piece of software to run on a multi-core CPU so that all these functions are actually running in parallel all the time and not called in a sequence. So we had to modify, as I previously mentioned, modify the click library. So there are some standard methods that will transfer the packet to the next element. So we have modified it so that instead of calling a function, it will write or call a function that Ahir will detect, and it will be translated later as a write to a pipe. So not giving a through a function call a pointer to packet to the next element, but we instead write into this FIFO pipe that is between its pair of elements. So they can be processing a different packet at the same time. As all hardware is running all the time, we cannot really stall there. So these are the click elements, but the packet processing code is the operation inside is the same as in the original C++ code. Just the interface between them is a little bit different. So this memory for packets is also different. We cannot use malloc in hardware, so we have previously allocated slots for packets. And we have a table to record which slots are free and so on. And this is all handled by Ahir. So it generates this also from C code where we define this table. So it will be also hardware on the FPGA currently. Then we have this wrapper code, which is static. Basically, we need to do this because the data model in the click and NetFPGA is completely different. In click, you pass a pointer to a whole packet, and in NetFPGA, you just give 64 bits each clock cycle. And so we basically collect the whole packet first into memory and then give it to the click element, and in the output we do the opposite, we chop it to 64-bit pieces. On the evaluation, so this is like the first version, so it's not the end result is the performance is not so good as we expected in the beginning, but we are happy to see that it really works. So when we want to modify a hardware router, we only need to go to the C++ code, modify the packet processing, then run make and wait for like 30 minutes or something, depending on the PC, when the whole hardware is reconstructed. So it's pretty fast compared to go write Verilog or VHDL yourself. So then we have measured the performance we have compared to handwritten code from Stanford. We can currently reach only one third of the line speed, but we have identified most of the problems there are, and we could come over those. The biggest problem is this translation between the different data models. And then we could also get more performance by using more resources, so by simulation we have shown that we could replicate these elements, like check IP header and check two IP packets in parallel. So we get, by using 10% more resources, we get 18% improvement. Also doubling the memory bandwidth, we see 31% more performance with 19% increase in hardware resource usage. So there's future work left to do. So we could redesign the memory and or packet I/O model. So we could use 64-bit instead of 8-bit memory transfer functions. We could initiate click processing before the whole packet is received, but that requires more understanding of click and more modification on the click side. We could use memory outside the FPGA on this specific board, like using the DRAM chips there. Would leave us more resources for the actual packet processing. We could find more ways to add parallelism. Some existing optimizations are good, but there we could find more. We could use optimized code templates, like using assembler macros in software compilers. And we could analyze the click router and specify which parts would be essential to run on hardware and which could be left to run on a host CPU. So it doesn't make really sense to put everything on an FPGA like we are doing now. This is just a proof of concept that this whole thing works, and then it could be done correctly the next time. So the conclusion is that we have shown that writing a toolchain that transforms a complex software system into a hardware system is possible. However, it's like I said, just that there's more work to develop such a toolchain that can create a more efficient hardware system than the original software system that doesn't require more hardware resources compared to handwritten. And that supports all software features like recursion and getting back this reconfigurability. But yeah, it runs and we are quite happy. Thanks. Any questions?
How fast is the compiled router running on the NetFPGA compared to the original software implementation?
Can you repeat?
So you're taking a software router, you're compiling it for the NetFPGA, you're running it on the NetFPGA, you get a third of line rate. If you just ran the software router in software, what kind of performance do you see?
On a standard PC, you could get 1 gigabit easily.
Eddie Kohler, Harvard. So one of the things that I think that I like about this work, that we liked about this work on the PC, was the demonstration of all of the tools that make this possible that we could use in our own systems. Could you briefly say what mistakes you would make that you would advise we not make if we were to try to do something similar?
Maybe study carefully the source system. So you don't have to write
the
software
three
times.
What an idiot he was.
But anyway, this is not the first actual version, so we first made an first version was writing out C++ actually. It was constant versions of the Qlik, and then we moved on to the LLVM. I'm not sure if it's possible to do anything great, like sit down and write it once, but you have to do it many times, I think. I don't know how to avoid that. If somebody knows, please let me know.
Thanks.